breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers of Madani channel of our series Light of Knowledge. Alhamdulillah, today's topic is titled Sacrifices for Islam. We are continuing our discussion where we discussed the lessons of Karbala. And now moving forward within our life, I wanted to delve more into this aspect, that do the Muslims of the current era need to sacrifice anything so that Islam, the message of Islam, can continue further? And in particular, I want to look back at the lives of the pious people of Allah within the Quran, within the blessed ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we can see how Islam reached us today and how we must continue this forward as well, insha'Allah azza wa jal. So let us start with the virtue of Durood-e Paak. As we all know, within this beautiful environment of Da'wat Islami, every program that we have on the channel, alhamdulillah, every bayan that is started, every dars that is started, it always begins with the virtue of Durood-e Paak. And there is a huge reason for this, because Durood-e Paak, sending peace and blessings upon our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a cleansing for the Muslims. In this world where we are faced by many temptations, we're going through a lot of difficulty, worries, we may be suffering familial loss, we might be going through a lot of tension and worry. This beautiful, and just one aspect within Da'wat Islami that I'm about to highlight here today, is the increase in awareness for the Muslims on sending peace and blessings in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So let us listen very carefully to this beautiful narration. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, أولى الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة, meaning the closest person to me on the day of judgment will be the one who would have recited Salat ala Nabi in abundance upon me. So this, my dear viewers of Madani channel, tells us that if we want to acquire the nearness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let me just ask a very informal question to the viewers of Madani channel. If I was to say to you, would you like to be near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam within this world, and more importantly on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when that day will be full of horrors, full of terror for the general population of many people? Now no doubt every single Muslim would exclaim in unison, absolutely, we all want to be near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, the ticket, I can say, the remedy, the secret is to send Durood-e Paak, send peace and blessings upon our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance. Whilst we are alive, we have the opportunity. All of those people that we know who have passed away just recently, they no longer have the opportunity to send even one Durood-e Paak in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But me and you today, who are observing, who are still alive, we are breathing, we have countless opportunities within these moments of our life. So this is my first message, and the message of every program of Da'wat Islami is to increase your salawat in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This is an accepted action in the court of Allah Almighty, and this will most definitely reduce the tensions that you feel in life. If you feel that you're overwhelmed, if you feel difficulty in maybe your mind, you're feeling a psychological block, you're finding tension, worry, or maybe you have just suffered a loss, the comfort is in remembering the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And if you are going through any difficulty, whether it be financial, whether any familial matters that may be worrying your mind, my best advice for you, and this is the advice of all the Muslims, to all the Muslims, that we should increase in our salawat in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a message for one and all. This is the message for every single person, whether we are students of knowledge, whether we are learned personalities, or whether we are just the normal public. Salawat is something that all of us must hold on to. And if there are students of knowledge listening and watching, then your mindset to reciting salawat should be even more. Why? Because you have read those ahadith, you have learnt those ahadith, you sit in the gatherings of the ulama where they teach you regarding the importance of sending salawat. So this message is for every single viewer, inshallah, azawajallah. Send peace and blessings in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly, and inshallah, azawajallah, this will no doubt benefit you in this world and the hereafter. And many people have tried and tested this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to moisten our tongues in the dhikr, in the remembrance of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this was the virtue of Durood-e Paak. We are going to listen to the kalam of Imam al-Sunnat, al-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. So tune in and let's hear which kalam it will be today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salli ala Nabiyyina Salli ala صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد کعبے کے در کے سامنے مانگی ہے یہ دعا فقط کعبے کے در کے سامنے مانگی ہے یہ دعا فقط ہاتھوں میں حشر تک رہے دامن مصطفیٰ فقط. چمک تجھ سے پاتی ہے سب پانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتی ہے سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے قسمت میری چمکائیے چمکائیے آقا مجھ کو بھی در پاک پہ بلوائیے آقا سینے میں غکابہ تو بسے دل میں مدینہ پھر آنکھوں میں میری آپ سما جائیے آقا چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے برستا نہیں دیکھ کر رب رے مت بدو پر بھی برسا
رسانے والے بدوں پر بھی برسا دے، برسانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب والے، حرم کی زمین اور قدم رکھ کے چلنا، حرم کی زمین اور قدم رکھ کے چلنا، حرم کی زمین اور قدم رکھ کے، سر کی ہے حرم کی زمین اور قدم رکھ کے چلنا، رے سر کا موقع ہے او جانے والے، رہے گا یوں ہی ان کا چر چار، ان کا چر چار ہے گا، پرے خاک ہو جائے جل جانے والے، اور تو زندہ ہے ورا تو زندہ ہے چھپ جانے والے، اور زانس دشمن ہے دم میں نانا، زانس دشمن ہے دم میں نانا، چند رانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے، میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے۔
ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ، بیوٹیفل کلام، ویری فیمس کلام آف امام اہل سنت، اینڈ it also establishes the aqeedah of the Ahl Sunnah that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he is the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty created the blessed nur of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam first, and thereafter the remaining creation was created. And Imam Ahl Sunnah begins to say, chamak means, you can say, illumination, shine in simple terms. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from you, all people who have attained any nur, any illumination, any light, i.e. the light of iman, they have all acquired their illumination from you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Imam al-Sunnah says, Mira dil. Mira is a shortened version of Mira. So when it's recited, it's Mira dil bi chamka de chamkane wale. So Imam al-Sunnah says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also illuminate my heart. O the bestower of illumination, O the one who grants this nur, O the one who disperses this beautiful light. And it's beautifully mentioned in one sharh of Hadaik-e-Bakhshish that it is this nur of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after one glance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the Sahaba kiram, they became who they became. For example, it was the nur, nur-e-nazar, the blessed gaze of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon Sayyiduna Abu Bakr that made him a Siddiq. And not only a Siddiq, but Siddiq-e-Akbar, made him the exceptionally truthful, the greatest devotee. It is that blessed and merciful glance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his light, because of whom Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu became Farooq-e-Azam. He became the one that once you listen to his words, you realize the difference between truth and falsehood. He is the differentiator between truth and falsehood. It is that nur of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that glanced upon Sayyiduna Usman-e-Ghani radiallahu anhu. Such nur, where he granted, he was given the title of Dhun-Nurain, the possessor of two lights, as he was blessed to marry two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one after the other. And similarly, it mentions, it is this blessed Nur-e Nazar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that glanced upon Sayyiduna Mawla Ali, Mushkil Kusha, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, wa karramallahu wajhahu al-kareem, that he became Sher-e-Khuda, that he became the Lion of Allah. Thereafter, the ulama of the deen, they mention that it is because of the blessed illumination of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that everybody else was granted the light of Iman. So whoever amongst the Sahaba-i-Kiram thereafter, then by the fezan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then distributing the fezan through the Sahaba-i-Kiram, through the Tabi'un, etc. up until today's time today. So this is what the, and one beautiful point actually they reference is the way and how powerful was the dispersing of light or the distribution of the nur of Iman of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that those Sahaba-i Kiram who he distributed the nur of Iman to, they became Ashabi kan-Nujum. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. In Mishkat Sharif, the Hadith-i Baq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my companions are like stars. They are like the stars. Whichever one of them you follow, you will attain guidance. Whichever of them you follow, you will be guided. So here, this shows, this is the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the zuban, from the blessed tongue of Imam al-Sunnat al-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Now this is the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever Allah Pak blesses and however much Allah Pak grants to such a person, you will find his level of Iman truly will be defined when you actually see how much love does he have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the reality. Now, it doesn't matter. Many people, they perform sajde, Quran-e-Pak recitation, they perform hajj and umrah abundantly, but they lack the adab and the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those ibadat will be put to one side because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepting him the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for us to accept his beloved. وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. That what are you to do when the beloved comes to you? You are to revere him, you are to respect him. That could be in many forms, by obeying him, his commandments, by listening, by following in his prophetic way. Thereafter, for example, when people present themselves at the blessed Rawda Sharif of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you see many devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they hands are folded out of adab and they trace their steps backwards, not wanting to turn their back towards the blessed Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is their expression of love and ta'azim and tawqeer and takreem for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There should be never any objection in the mind of every Muslim. These types of actions should inspire others to follow in that way, not, you know, where people are actually pointing out that this shouldn't be in ma'adallah. So thereafter, let's continue, otherwise we will be here for a very long time. Imam al-Sunnat, there is also another point that the ulama mentioned in regards to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, that no matter all the people who attained any particular status in this world, meaning the ulama, the awliya, the imams, any person who is, any Muslim who is generous, any Muslim who is brave, all of these things, they all receive them because of the distribution of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a very famous kalam of Imam al-Sunnat where he says, La wa rabbil arsh jisko jo mila unse mila, batti hai konain mein ni'mat rasulullah ki. So this basically tells us where Imam al-Sunnat is emphatically stating that no, meaning even I take an oath by the Rabb of the Arsh,
Allah,
meaning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that any type of ni'mat, any type of blessing that he has received, he or she, has received in this world, it is because of the distribution of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this, we don't need to go far. The hadith epoch in the Siha Sitta, which is famously mentioned amongst the ulama of the deen, the students of knowledge are very much aware. Rather, they are taught this hadith to inspire them further. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fid deen, wa innama ana qasimun wallahu yu'ti." Whoever Allah intends goodness for, Allah Almighty bestows him with the understanding of the religion. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, wa innama ana qasimun. Indeed, I am the distributor. Wallahu yu'ti, and Allah is the one who bestows, who grants. Allah Almighty is the giver." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "I am the distributor." So this, alhamdulillah, is something that the Muslims throughout the ages have held this beautiful opinion. But let's continue further, inshallah. But Imam al-Sunnah here is indicating to that exact hadith he's referenced. This is what's so amazing, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. I want you to take this point away from our discussion here at the start. That Imam al-Sunnah's poetry is always linking or referring back to. You see many different couplets. There are some numerous couplets of Imam al-Sunnah where he is referencing a verse of the Quran, or he is referencing a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this also shows his level and his understanding of the deen. Imam al-Sunnah's expertise in the science of hadith, that he's able to not only, he understands the hadith well, he was the great muhaddith of his time, Imam al-Sunnah, al-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahma. But not only is he able to, he memorizes numerous ahadith, but he also knows how to articulate them in poetry and also make it a praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why we love A'la Hazrat. He is the hallmark of Sunni creed, that he is that personality. Once somebody says, "I am a follower of the path and the understanding of Imam Ahli Sunnat, Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman," people, their heart is at peace when they hear that statement. If anybody is other somewhere else, you know, he's not straight here, he's maybe moving this way, moving that way, that's when, you know, questions should arise in people's mind. Otherwise, Maulana Sahib, I had that exact couplet in my mind as well. I was thinking, "Rab hai mu'ti ye hai qasim, rizq uska hai khilate ye hai." Otherwise, it'll be so much. And Imam al-Sunnah, this is what he does. His poetry is like this. And if we just take Imam al-Sunnah's poetry and just link it onto our topic, and then we're going to fully come onto our topic, inshallah, azawajal. We've talked about sacrifice for the deen of Allah. Imam al-Sunnah invested his entire life, you know, if this would not even be an exaggeration. From a young age, he was given the tarbiyat by his mother and father, by his grandfather, studying the deen. He was brought up in a house of ulama. This shows to us that the parents definitely have an impact. And not only do the parents, but the grandparents have an impact. And they can have a positive impact when they portray and they show Islam in the best possible manner, through their character, through their akhlaq, and especially by teaching the children from a young age. Remember, no child is too young. When they are young children, when they are young babies, the parents, this is a message for all the families, to say the name of Allah abundantly in front of your child. Even when the child is in the womb, the mother and father should recite the Holy Quran. We learned this from the story of Ghose Pak, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was that personality that he had memorized 18 juz of the Quran, 18 spari of the Quran from by birth. Why? Because his blessed mother was a hafiza. She had memorized 18 juz, the first 18 juz of the Holy Quran, and she would recite them whilst carrying Ghose Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So this shows to us that the mother has a huge impact. The first madrasa is the mother, and the father also will teach and also give tarbiyat and also teach the son how to live in society, how to be the best of people, how to have good character, good akhlaq, good manner of speaking, etc., etc. So sacrifices, Imam al-Sunnah, he dedicated, if not a huge portion, you can say even 95, maybe 99% of his time for the deen of Allah. He studied himself, then he further went on to developing his ulum to such an extent where people try to talk about Ala Hazrat, they themselves become in a state of, you can say, weakness. That we don't even know how, what more can we, there are many things that we don't know that Ala Hazrat knew. Imam al-Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala. So this is why Ala Hazrat, this is just his poetry. But if you think about his ulum and his understanding of the deen, how much he invested in the deen, this is something that my dear viewers of Madani Channel will definitely need another program, another episode for, inshallah, azza wa jal. But let me just, inshallah, go through a few more couplets of Imam al-Sunnah. A very famous one, and this again highlighting the creed of the Ahlul Sunnah. Furthermore, our Mawlana Mubashir to recite this couplet as well for us in Tarz. Tu zinda hai walla, tu zinda hai walla, mere chashme alam se chup jane wale.
Tu zinda hai walla, tu zinda hai walla, tu zinda hai walla. عالم سے چھپ جانے والے.
Lahiya, Imam Ahlus Sunnah is expressing his devout love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also exclaiming his belief. He says, "Tu zinda hai wallah," meaning here, "Tu zinda hai," everybody understands, you are alive. And wallah, this is an emphatic clause that he has added. He is taking an oath by Allah Almighty that, "Oh my beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are alive," but it's not just a statement that Allah Hazrat wants to say. He wants to add the qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. He wants to take an oath by Allah that he most certainly believes that you are alive. Then he doesn't only say it once, he repeats it again. Now this is also he's trying to give ta'keed, emphasis here again. But he's saying when something is mentioned twice, this it has many different reasons. One reason is ta'keed, emphasis, to push this idea, this ideology and this belief to the mind of the listener. That what is the belief? Tu zinda hai wallah. That, oh my beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are most certainly alive. Now, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahlus Sunnah mentioned this couplet, this first stanza, but where is the proof for this? Now, this is again requires a full discussion, but just very briefly for the viewers of Madani channel. Within the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the martyrs, we are not allowed to say regarding them that they are dead. Rather, they are alive, and it is the people who are unaware. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, لَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Thereafter, if this is the status the ulama mention of the prophets of Allah, that you cannot say regarding them that they are dead. Rather, they are alive, but you people of the earth, you are unaware of their manner of being alive. Similarly, if this is the state of those who are adna, those who are less in rank, then the anbiya are higher in rank. Thereafter, if we move on to another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that do not even think in your mind, do not even have this guman in your mind regarding those who have been slain in the path of Allah, that they are dead, but rather they are alive. And this is another point which highlights the fact regarding the martyrs. But then this is the regarding the martyrs. What about the prophets of Allah? Now remember, there were some prophets who were also martyred. The Quran tells us that many prophets from the Bani Israel and from previous nations, they were martyred by their people. So even that includes the prophets into this discussion. But furthermore, to make it even more clear, within the ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ has clearly mentioned that the prophets are alive. In one hadith epoch, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَن تَأْكُلَ أَجْسَادَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ فَنَبِيُّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ يُرْزَقُ. Indeed, Allah has forbidden upon the earth to consume the bodies of the prophets. The Prophet of Allah is alive and he is given sustenance. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said in the Musnad of Abu Ya'la, Al-Anbiya'u ahya'un fi quburihim yusallun. The prophets are alive in their graves, yusallun, and they offer salah. So within these ahadith, the belief of the Muslims, and thereafter the ulama going through discussion. This is not just some point where we look at some verses of the Quran or some and we do this. The ulama have written extensive research, they've written extensive books on this particular topic. Okay. Now, my dear viewers of Madani channel, just bringing this to a close, because we will also be here for a very long time speaking through the couplets of Imam Ahlus Sunnah. Allah Hazrat mentions at the end, Raza nafs dushman hai dam mein na aana. He says, O Raza, the evil baser self, i.e. the nafs, the evil inner self that takes a person towards sin, incites one to guna. He is your enemy. It is your enemy. Do not be caught in its deception. Now this is the humility of Imam Ahlus Sunnah. And in the ulama say, Ala Hazrat is such a profound personality that he does not only mention the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also gives a sabak and a lesson for his devotees. That what can they also learn? What can they take from the poetry that they can implement within their life? Here he's highlighting the fact that the nafs is a very dangerous and deceptive existence or being that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't fall for its traps. And he said, where have you ever got to see such notorious masters of deception? Now here he's just telling us that the nafs is such a deceptive being that don't ever fall for its tricks. Now it can come in many different forms. Sometimes your nafs might be inclined towards something, but you might have people as well. You might have other people who are like the evilness, nafs, and they take you towards maybe wrong beliefs or wrong actions. So be aware of them and don't just accept every single person. Meaning be careful, have a certain criteria. It's similar to the discussion where we talk about friendships. Like today, when we were in school, friendships were made with those people who had similar hobbies to us. If we liked a particular football team, for example, within the UK, it's very famous. Every child had a particular football team or had maybe a particular cricket team. They would be friends with that child. But Islam teaches us, and the father should be teaching his children this, that when you make friends, make sure that the base of your friendship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make sure the deen of Allah is the base of your friendship, because a person is recognized through his friends. Meaning if people want to get to know you and they just see you from an outer perspective, they maybe won't speak to your family. They'll just look at you from a distance and see who does he hang around with. And they will make a conclusion at times. They will come to an opinion regarding you just because of your friends. So this is why Madhya Vizu Madhini channel, youngsters, that be careful who you befriend. Because your friends, even though you might not be maybe in particular in that particular crime, but because you're hanging around with people, you are guilty by association. And this is also mentioned within common law as well. So, Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Almighty grant us the benefits of the poetry of Allah Hazrat Imam Ahlul Sunnat and Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla to this particular topic today, which is in regards to the sacrifices for Islam. Now, my dear viewers of Madani channel, I don't want to give you so much information in regards to this topic where you're thinking, okay, what was said? Meaning it was all good and well, the program was exciting, it was very nice, but what did we learn from this? So let's take some practical few bullet points, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, from this particular discussion. Then I'm going to go into some stories of our pious predecessors. These are, you can say, bullet points for us to take from this lesson today, this program. We're talking about the sacrifices for Islam. What does Islam demand from us in today's era? In the modern era that we live, many brothers and sisters may be studying in school, college, university. Maybe there are other brothers and sisters who are maybe working. Some have families. So people are in different stages of their life. Some people may be looking to go into relationships, etc. What does Islam demand from us in today's modern day and age? You know, when we think about sacrifices, many people, they jump to this statement that, you know, the sacrifices that we hear in today's speeches by the scholars and by people talking about the deen, those were those pious predecessors, those were the sahaba, those were the anbiya, the prophets of Allah. We can't do anything like that. Today we hear people say such things. Whereas we must remember something. This is actually a trick of the shaitan. This is a deception of the shaitan and of the evil nafs that he wants us to think that we will live in this life, everything will be, we won't have to make any sacrifices, we're just going to live our own life, meaning practice Islam, what we think or what we have learned maybe, and that's it. Not contribute to society, not sit in the company of ulama, not try to be a positive influence on the world. Now, one thing which has been discussed on many different programs of Da'wat Islami is that every Muslim is a representative of Islam. Every Muslim is a representative of Islam, whether you like it or not. Once you have submitted yourself to the command of Allah, to Allah Almighty's obedience, following in His beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings, we have a duty upon us to represent that message of Allah and His beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the best way. It's not something that we should shy away from or try and hide, but rather we should wholeheartedly, with our chest out, as they say, and wholeheartedly represent our Islam in the best manner, with our physical appearance, with our speech, with our behavior, the way we treat people. All of these things are how we can contribute to society from an Islamic perspective. And this is one thing that Islam also demands from us today. The sacrifice that what sacrifice do we need to make? Those desires that we may have, which are impermissible, maybe the nafs has made it interesting in our heart that listening to music is something that I like, or watching so-and-so dramas or movies is something that I like, or maybe binge-watching different channels or programs, whatever it may be in society that we are infatuated with, but which goes against the deen, all of those things we have to sacrifice for the sake of Allah Almighty. This is today's modern understanding and what we need to do as Muslims. I'm not saying necessarily all our desires that we have, they should be wiped away. Okay. Now, All our desires should be in line with the teachings of Islam. This is my message. Now today, because people, and I'm not saying that we are imperfect, but I'm saying if you look at generally, many of the reasons of why many people are away from the path is because of lack of knowledge. Once they learn that this particular action is impermissible, any person who has he has love for Allah Almighty, love for his beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love for Islam, then that love should take him away from those things that are acts of disobedience. Like for example, let me make it very simple. If you love someone, and as a Muslim, we should love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and his beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than anything in this world. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. And the believers, their love for Allah is greater, is more shadeed, is more intense than any other love. This is the sign of true believers. So the point I want to mention here, now I want this bullet point, I want you to write this down if possible, or note it down in your phones on your notes. This is one point that I want you to take from this program. If you love someone, then everything that your beloved holds dear, that should also be dear to you as well. Meaning you should love that as well. And everything your beloved dislikes, you should also dislike that. That is the criteria of true love. This is the criteria of true love. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom every single person should love, right? Every Muslim no doubt loves. But if we talk generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's provided us with all the things that we have in today's time. Even if people are going through any financial difficulty, or maybe they're going through any problems within their home, you still have something to be grateful for. You still have something to be grateful for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us countless, innumerable blessings just within our existence from head to toe. We are indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, I was just speaking with some brothers. It was today and yesterday as well. And the topic was similar. The topic was, in today's time, we have this very bad issue in society, Muslim world and non-Muslim world as well. People complain a lot, meaning there's a lot of complaining going around. If people have a nice home, they will complain that they don't have an extension. If a person has a good kitchen that works well, they will complain that they don't have a better, up-to-date, modernized kitchen. This is the sad reality of today's world. A youngster who has a phone that works will complain to his parents that, why don't you get me a new model phone? It might be funny, maybe some viewers of Madhani Channel are smiling, but this is the sad reality that we have left the rope of gratitude and we have held on to the rope of ingratitude.
You know, there's a saying as well, you have 1,000 problems until you have one health problem.
Allahu Akbar.
Because before that health problem, you're thinking, oh, I need this, I need this new car, I need to extend my house, all of this. But then when you get that one health problem, you're only thinking about that. Yeah. I've been through this myself, you're thinking that if I recover from this, then I would be the happiest person ever. But then when you recover, then you're back to square one, or back to my car now, which was my next upgrade.
You're absolutely right. And this is something that I wanted to actually speak on furthermore, is that when it comes to these blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, these blessings, truthfully, if we were to look at them in detail, like even the morsel of food that we may have in our hand right now, for those who may be currently eating in this moment, if we were to just think deeply about that morsel of food, what blessings came together for me to have this morsel of food in my hand? Now, people don't think like that, but Islam wants us to think like that. You know, people say, I want to travel the world. Why do you want to travel the world? Sometimes it's a good khahish, a desire. That's good. But if you look deeply, you can make that intention, you can make it religious as well. That you want to observe the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. That Allah Almighty has granted us these eyes. I want to see many different locations. And this is a good intention. But the point is, when it comes to these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today we find that many of us are more complaining than actually being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually one thing, my dear viewers of Madhani Channel, that will grant you peace of mind. Those things that you don't have in the current moment, don't stress over that. Rather, count the favors of Allah that you have currently and begin to thank Allah Almighty for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Holy Quran لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you acknowledge my favors, if you acknowledge my favors, if you are grateful, I will most definitely increase you. Meaning in those blessings. So the wording in Arabic is لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The lam is for emphasis. The noon at the end. This entire form of the word, it's an emphatic statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I will most definitely increase for you. Now one thing today, people may lie. People may lie. They might say one thing, but then at the last minute they might back out. Or meaning that's not a lie, but maybe meaning people are at times they don't hold to the word. But some people, they may lie. They may tell you one thing, but in reality it's something else. But when we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statements are all truthful. They are all true. What do we say at the end of recitation of the Quran? Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah Almighty has spoken the truth, has said the truth. What Allah Almighty has granted us, this is the truth. And we all believe this. So why don't we believe the fact that if we are grateful, we'll get more? Now this is something that we should reflect over. Now, in this topic of sacrifices for Islam, we did discuss the point that we have to become people who are more grateful and sacrifice those impermissible desires and be grateful for what we have. Thereafter, another point that I would like the viewers of Madni Chan to take from this is the sacrifices that were made by the pious predecessors. We may not be able to give that type of sacrifice where they gave a sacrifice of their entire life for the preservation of Islam. But what we can do is sacrifice our time for the sake of Islam. Now this is something that everybody will have to look within their life, that what is their daily schedule and where can they make time for learning Islam, for learning regarding Islam. Because today, if we look at our life, maybe we just have waking up. If we have a family, then school, for the dropping the kids after school, then going to work, coming back in the evening, and then spending time with family. That's about it. And if it's students of knowledge or students of the world who are studying in university, etc., they wake up in the morning, maybe some of them will maybe exercise in the morning, then they will go into studying, then they will come back, maybe exercise again, come home, relax, and rewind for the day and end the day. But the topic or the point I want to focus on here is how much sacrifice do we give from our own time for the deen of Allah? Because like I mentioned, we won't be able to give our lives for the deen, but we can sacrifice our personal time. We can dedicate 1 hour, half an hour, or even more than this to learn our deen. And this is the reason why this is so important, is because we're living in an era where the knowledge of Islam, unfortunately, in the hearts and minds of people is diminishing. People do not know much about their deen today. So this is why, by the grace of Allah Almighty, many ulama of the deen, and in the beautiful environment of Da'wat Islami, we have Madni channel available. We have different avenues where Islam and the knowledge of Islam is being taught. For example, we will have the tafaseer of the Holy Quran. We have live programs, recorded programs of the commentary of the Holy Quran in Urdu and in English. They are readily available on the official channels of Da'wat Islami. Thereafter, we have live transmissions like this one in particular, and we have the live Madni Mudhakara every Saturday. So these are all sessions where we can learn Ilm-e-Deen. But how many of us with consistency attend those and sit in the presence of the ulama and learn from them? Now we should, and this is the second point I want the viewers of Madni Channel to write down. If you truly want a change in your life, and if you are a family, a mother and father, husband and wife, what you need to do is both agree and have this mindset together that we are going to make our home a religious home. We are going to make our home an Islamic home. This is advice for brothers and sisters who are looking to get married as well. That when they are looking for a partner, when they're looking for a spouse, they should be looking for someone who is upon their deen and who has this same mindset that I want to make my home, that is a future home, to be a religious home. The problem is we have in today's society, maybe there are some homes that one spouse is religiously minded, that they want to protect their children on the deen. But the other spouse, whoever it is, the man, the husband or the wife, we have to develop within our minds that both of them need to work together to look after their home. Because this is what you have. Remember, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, you have control of your home. Today, unfortunately, what happens is, because of all of this technology, even our home is no longer within our control. But if you work together, the family all gets together and works and focuses that we need to protect our iman. We need to protect the iman of our children. We need to teach our children about Islam and we need to protect them from the evils of society. If every Muslim home develops this mindset from today, if they haven't done so already, inshallah azza wa jal, you're going to see a revolution in your home. It doesn't take much. It just takes everybody to be serious and to be religiously invested in their life. Today, we're not religiously invested. If we have time, we will give time to the deen. If we don't have time, we'll just say, I don't have time. I'm just going to go sleep or forget it. This is the sad reality where Islam has become a secondary issue within our lives. As Muslims, those people who claim to believe and follow in the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have put Islam secondary. Whereas the Quran tells us to enter Islam, O believers, enter Islam completely. Enter Islam completely and do not be part-time Muslims and don't choose and pick from the religion. Rather, everything that has been given in the religion, accept that accordingly. And this is why, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, Dawat Islami wants to not take any benefit for itself. It wants to help the Muslim Ummah. That today we have distanced ourselves from the deen, but it's not too late. It is never too late. You know when it's too late? When you begin to see the angel of death. When you begin to leave this world, that is when it's too late. Even now, even if it's been 20 years, 30 years, even 10 years, and maybe the home is not a religious home. What we can do together, if everybody works on this, inshallah, create an Islamic environment in the home. As we say in the environment of Dawat Islami, a madani mahol, a madani environment in the home. This basically means an Islamic environment. And what does this contain? For example, this contains elements of, firstly, the daily prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience. Remember, we cannot obey anybody if that obedience is disobeying our Creator. This is the very simple principle of Islam, that the obedience of Allah Almighty comes first and it demands to be placed first. So if we want our home to be one where our children are listening to us, our children are also on this mindset of being more religious, then we as parents, as elders, must be religiously minded ourselves. We must protect our 5 daily prayers. We also, alongside this, try and adopt the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your home. Try within your home to keep a small gathering where you are remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In today's time, by the blessing of Dawat Islami, we have many Islamic authentic literature regarding the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One particular book, very concise, known as the Sublime Biography of the Last Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is readily available on Dawat Islami's website as well as in the Maktabatul Madina, the bookstore of Dawat Islami. This is a very concise book on the summary of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, the month of Milad is quickly approaching. Dawat Islami is already giving us this mindset. The year in which we are quickly approaching, inshallah, in September, I believe, it will be the 1500th year of the birth from the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it would have been 1500 years from the time in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And Dawat Islami's mindset, the mindset of Amir Ahl Sunnat, the founder of Dawat Islami, is such that he has made a pledge and made an intention that by next year, 1500 masajid will be built by the grace of Allah Almighty, with Allah Almighty's permission, and their names will be Fezane Milad, i.e. the blessings of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is how we will revolutionize our home and our society. When we populate the masajid, when we are there to facilitate matters so we can have courses for our ulama-i kiram and the brothers of Dawat Islami to come and teach our local area, our community, about Islam, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my dear viewers, because time is of the essence as well, I do want to keep our channel and this particular program. I want to add Maulana Mubashir Sahib to recite a kalam of his choice, inshallah azza wa jalla. And thereafter, we're going to summarize a few more points on this topic regarding the sacrifices for Islam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sajibatu Sikhate ye hai Sidi raah chalate ye hai sachi baat sikhate ye hai seedhi raah جنات یہ ہے قصر دانا تک کس کی رسائی جاتے یہ ہے آتے یہ ہے قصر دانا تک کس کی رسائی قصر دانا تک کس کی رسائی جاتے یہ ہے اور آتے یہ ہے جاتے یہ ہے آتے یہ ہے شافے نافے رافے دافے شافے نافے رافے دافے کیا کیا رحمت لاتے یہ ہے کیا کیا رحمت لاتے یہ ہے ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے ماں جب اکلوتے کو یہ ہے صلی اللہ اور باپ جہاں بیٹے سے باگے باپ جہاں بیٹے سے باگے لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے نظر روح میں آسانی دے نظر روح میں آسانی دے بندوں کو تھپک کر میٹھی نیند سلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ انہا تینا کوثر ساری کثرت پاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم رب ہے موتی یہ ہے قاسم رزق اس کا ہے کھلاتے یہ ہے کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ کہہ دو سے خوش ہو خوش رہ مجدار زاکا سناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ماشاءاللہ سبحان اللہ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we are approaching the end of our program, inshallah azza wa jalla. And I want to conclude our program today by mentioning the sacrifices of those personalities because of whom Islam is here today. And one particular event from such a personality who was granted the title as the first female martyr in Islam. This is none other than Sayyidatuna Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. She is the mother of the famous companion Sayyiduna Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And she was that great personality who embraced Islam in the early stages, in the early phases of Islam. And when she embraced Islam, she would invite the people. And when it led to her martyrdom, a very heart-wrenching incident took place where Abu Jahl, unfortunately, he granted her, meaning Abu Jahl, he despised the fact that she was openly inviting people towards Islam. Now, this type of enmity and hatred can only come from a foul heart, a heart that has been lacked of guidance and mercy. And when he told her, do not mention Allah's name, meaning do not proclaim the oneness of Allah Almighty. And she thereafter proclaimed the oneness of Allah Almighty. And he casted the spear through her body. But this particular incident shows the bravery of the Muslims of the past, the bravery of the Muslim women of the past, the Sahabiyat. And this was only one great personality. Regarding their family, the Prophet ﷺ gave them khushkhabri of Jannah, gave them glad tidings, good news that they will enter paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said, O family of Yasir, have patience, for you is the promise of paradise. Now, thereafter, not only Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha, but her husband Sayyiduna Yasir and her son Sayyiduna Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma, they all went through difficulties. And this is something that because of their firmness of belief, it granted more strength to the iman of the fellow Muslims around them. Similarly, there are other occasions where different companions, we famously know of Sayyiduna Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that on the plains of the deserts of Arabia, he was placed and stones and boulders of rocks were placed on his back. But he continued to say, Ahad, Ahad, Allah Almighty is one, Allah Almighty is one. Meaning there is no, the belief of many gods is not the belief of the Muslims. And this is not anything that we will ever leave. We will firmly believe in the oneness of Allah Almighty. And thereafter, Sayyiduna Khabbab bin Al-Arat, a very special companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and he embraced Islam in that time when there were only a few men who had embraced Islam during that time. And he also went through a lot of difficulty, a lot of mistreatment, a lot of torture from the hands of the disbelievers of the Quraysh. And he was such difficulties that if we even outline them today, you know, people will begin to feel the pain. True Muslims will understand. But this is not something that should be just told as a story. But Muslims should be inspired from such the strength of Iman, the power of Iman of these personalities. And today, what is our state? If we get a bit of a headache, a bit of a flu, our prayer goes. If we're busy doing something, our namaz is missed. So if we're busy in the workplace, if we're busy occupied in matters with our family. So this is not the way of a true Muslim. We have unfortunately left that true hallmark of a Muslim where he looks after his salah. His salah is the first thing on his mind when he wakes up And it's the last thing on his mind when he, before he goes to sleep. This is a sign of a true Muslim. But look at these great personalities of Islam, that they were happy to bear the difficulties that they were facing. Now today, we are nowhere near this. Like there's nothing, no sort of difficulty like that in our time. Meaning, we have freedom to practice our deen. We have freedom, we have masajid easily built, we have our 5 daily prayers, we can, all of this, we have so much facilitation, so much ease. But the strength of iman has become weak. And this is because, as mentioned in the hadith, the reason for why the downfall of the Muslim ummah, as highlighted in the hadith, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that the ummah will be afflicted by al-wahan, this weakness. And they will be like the foam of the ocean. There'll be no substance left in the Muslims. And what will be the reason for this? The Prophet ﷺ said, it will be al-wahan will be in them. And the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is wahan? And the Prophet ﷺ said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the love, the infatuation of the world. The love of the world will be in their hearts. وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, and the dislike of death. Right? They will not like to hear about death. And you know, you can take a survey as well, that if there was a program on the topic of death in a masjid, even the grandest masjids within the UK or around the world, how many people would actually attend? Because people don't want to listen to the inevitable truth, right? And they want to live their life in such a manner where they are freely doing anything and nobody can tell them not to do anything. Now this concept goes against Islam though. Because Islam, and a Muslim is one who submits himself to the command of Allah. And if we say we are Muslim, but then we don't want anyone to tell us what to do, meaning as a Muslim, guide us nicely, give us tarbiyat, teach us, help us, give us advice, all this stuff. And it doesn't make sense because these are, you know, two polar opposites opinions that we're trying to stand on. That we are Muslim on one side, but also don't help us, meaning don't stop us from doing what we want to do. This is the sad reality. And if we look within ourselves, we look in the Muslim Ummah today, how many of us are infatuated with this world, the love of the world? These two points that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned are also interlinked. One great speaker, he said, they're two sides of the same coin. You know, a coin, it has a head and tail, right? حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, love of the world is on one side, and the dislike of death is on the other side. Meaning, if somebody loves the world, he will automatically dislike death. But take it in the other way, spin it the other way. If a person does not like this world, he will begin to love death. And what is loving death? Loving death means that you love to meet your creator. That this world is a prison for the believer and it is a paradise for the disbeliever. And this is unfortunately what we see today. So the point I want us to extract from this in the final moments of our program is the sacrifices for Islam that Islam demands from us today is our time. That's all I want to give this one message for today. If you begin to sacrifice your time, sacrifice your children's time for the sake of Islam, for the sake of the deen. And this is very important, that we don't only send our children to the madaris, to the gatherings, to the jami'at, but the father is sitting at home, or the father is busy at work, or the father is doing something non-religious. This doesn't give a good impact. If the madaris, if the jami'at, if all these Islamic institutes, even the masajid, are holding all these programs to bring the children and the Muslim children, the youth, to try and protect their iman, then we need the support of the family as well. We need the support of the fathers and the mothers. They also need to come unto the deen. Practically, inshallah, that's when we're going to see a revolution in our society. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the ability to remember and act upon what has been said. So my dear viewers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, protect yourselves, stay safe, hold on to your deen, and hold on to your salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of you. Jazakumullah khairah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.